Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. One sign of a vital arts and entertainment district or any thriving walkable area is the emergence of street performers. For years here in Tulsa, you'd never see a single one. But in the past few years, with the popularity of the Brady Arts District, the Blue Dome area, and the corridor between the BOK Center and the Performing Arts Center, it's not uncommon to see a street musician or busker performing for tips. In fact, after years of a lot of cities discouraging or regulating street performers, many cities now consider buskers to be an asset, a sign of a thriving arts and entertainment area. Buskers do add a certain level of fun and spontaneity to any walkable area, and the Tulsa Performing Arts Center Trust is actually encouraging performers to develop their acts with a busker's workshop scheduled for this Saturday. That's all preparatory to Tulsa's first Busker Night, which is scheduled Friday, July 11th at the Guthrie Green, where several nationally known buskers will join our own street performers for an evening of free street entertainment. Well, my guest today will be hosting the workshop and is a 30-year veteran of busking. Richard Renner is a Kansas native and tells jokes, juggles, rides a unicycle, walks on stilts, and plays an accordion, and is the executive director of the Lawrence, Kansas Busker Festival, which is now in its seventh year. He joins us today to talk about the art of street performing. Richard Renner, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
There are street performers, and then there are buskers. I've always thought buskers as sort of being a slightly higher level, maybe a more evolved street performance. Is there a difference between any sort of street performance and busking?
I like to think not. I think anybody with a guitar on the street is a busker, and anyone standing on a 10-foot pole with their hair on fire is a busker as well.
Now, how did you get interested in busking yourself? You graduated from with a theater degree. How did you get started busking? Was it something you did in college?
No. I wanted to be an actor in college. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of school, I found out that my career was at the whim and of many other people. And I think I got turned down for a commercial spot because my eyes were the wrong color. And I thought, you know, I spent 4 years in college because my eyes were the wrong color. Give me a break. So I just had this great need to perform and to do it on my own terms, and street performing seemed to be the most obvious venue. It's something I could go out and do without anybody having to hire me to be at that spot. You know, I could go out and do it on my own and do my own show.
How did you get started doing it?
Well, oddly enough, in college, I learned how to juggle, and for me, that was a big breakthrough. I struggled with it, and actually what learning how to juggle taught me was how I learn, you know, how I come up against obstacles in learning and how I get through them, or what it takes to get through them. Up until then, you know, I was just going to school and trying to learn. But then I realized how I learn, and I was able to learn more things, actually. So juggling taught me that, and I just got a great joy in accomplishing that. Then the next thing I thought was, well, if I could do this, I can ride a unicycle. And I got that, and I said, well, if I can do this, I can walk on a rope. I can walk on stilts. I can throw fire in the air. I can do anything. And so that's how I got started. It just gives me really self-motivational gratitude.
Yeah.
I'm really satisfied by it.
Now, when you started doing this, this would have been what, mid to late 80s?
Yeah.
In the Midwest?
Midwest, in Lawrence, Kansas, to be exact.
I would imagine what was the feeling towards busking at that particular time?
Well, for me, I thought it was exotic. I thought it was just the coolest thing. We used to have an act that would come up on the campus and do street shows. It was called the Royal Lichtenstein One-Quarter Ring Circus. I just went around to campuses everywhere and sat up on lawns in front of libraries and things like that. It did their shows. And for me, it was just amazing that this thing would just suddenly show up and be so cool. So that was my impression of it. I can't say for the general public.
Well, now, was that totally guerrilla, or were you invited guests of the universities, or what exactly?
You're talking about the Royal Lichtenstein Circus?
Yeah.
You know, I was under the impression that it was completely unplanned. You know, they just show up and things like that. What I found out later is yes, they are invited by the universities, but nonetheless, it still felt, it wasn't advertised, you know, it just felt like something you discovered secretly. And they passed the hat afterwards, too.
Yeah. You know, for a long time, when I think of busking in America, I think of cities falling into two categories, those that simply tolerated busking and those that really hated buskers. Is that attitude changing around the country?
Well, I would like to think so, and that's actually one of the purposes of the Busker Festival in Lawrence. There is an amazing amount of busker festivals in Canada and Europe and Australia and New Zealand, but for whatever reason, and it might be attitudes about street performing, there aren't that many, if at all, in the United States. And from what I'm finding out, is that these busking festivals have to happen in certain kinds of cultural cities, places like Boulder, places like Tulsa.
Or New Orleans.
Or New Orleans. It's
yeah.
Very big.
You know, I've always felt like a lot of the opposition to buskers is the fact that people are stopping and they're disrupting the pedestrian traffic flow.
Well, sure. The businesses don't like that. And there is usually a constant conflict going on between buskers and businesses. A good busker will work with businesses, and they will control their crowds, you know, to the point where businesses don't suffer. And a good business will take advantage of the crowd that the buskers bring in.
Right.
And
go beyond the front door.
Yes, and get them in their door once they're on the sidewalk.
Well, what's been the reaction to organized busking in Lawrence with your
festival? Oh, they love it.
Do they? Yeah, I would think the downtown in the Midwest, you're trying to get anything you can do to get people into the downtown.
Well, we're blessed here in Lawrence that we have a historical downtown that's just full of fun and funky shops, and people naturally go there. They want to go there. But we do add a better element, a different element to the downtown that you won't find out at Target.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that buskers won't bring people downtown. Buskers go where there are people downtown,
right.
Obviously, because they're existing on tips for the most part. And that's sort of a sign that your city does have a thriving entertainment area.
Yeah, it is true that buskers cannot create a place and make people come there unless you actually hold an out-and-out festival, I guess, with the carnival rides and cotton candy and all that other stuff. But, yeah, they have to go where the people are.
And yet they add something to the whole atmosphere of that entertainment or busy downtown district.
Yes.
What do you think they add?
A sense of surprise, a sense of uniqueness, a sense of, dare I say, even culture. I believe it's a art form. I believe even the most basic performer of a juggler or a magician is still an art form, because you've got to know how to engage the audience in every second or you'll lose them.
And, of course, it can be everything from a street performer, a guy with a guitar. I've seen incredible, like, classical acts busking on the streets to really fine jazz musicians busking on the streets. I've seen mimes, every form of circus act. And really, one of the things I was really interested in about your own festival in Lawrence is you have a lot of different sort of circus acts, what I'd call almost like circus acts.
Yeah, that's primarily the type of buskers you'll find out there, is people with variety skills like juggling and magic and escape artists and pogo tricks and you know, things like that. But we also have a dance act coming in. We got a whole stage that we devote to musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got now, this year we're going to have a poetry alley. We're going to have an area for poets to do their thing on the street too.
All right. Well, my guest today is Richard Renner, the director of the Lawrence, Kansas Busker Festival. He'll actually be doing a busker workshop this Saturday at the Fly Loft in downtown Tulsa. It's a workshop for Tulsa's first Busker Festival, which will be taking place on Friday, July 11th, around the Guthrie Green. And he joins us by phone here on Studio Tulsa. Well, tell us a little bit about this workshop you'll be doing on busking. Are there some hard and fast rules to being a successful busker?
Well, I suppose there are some rules, especially in the beginning. You need those rules. But once you learn those rules, there's always variations and deviations from those. Just like any art form, you have to learn the rules before you can break them.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those rules out there?
Well, some of those rules is, first of all, get along with the businesses, like what I mentioned, and don't perform any place that will actually push the crowd out into a dangerous area like the street or block a business. The other basic rule is to define your space and take control of it. Even though you don't own it, even though you are, you know, seeking to get along with everyone else around you, you still have to be in control of your space. So if the audience is too far away, you ask them to come closer. That's all there is to it. You know, you're not at their whimsy of where they happen to be. You know, you tell them what to do. So that's some of the more basic rules. The second part is make sure that your act is engaging in every moment. You can get away with having some slow spots and some silent moments and things like that on stage because the audience is already paid to be there and they're sitting there. But for a street performance, you've got to have something going on at every moment or they'll get up and walk away.
Yep. You know, it's interesting you were talking about having a space where you could really own the space. And, you know, you live in the Midwest, too. It's like our cities were built in a time when that sort of public space was, you know, at the sort of end of the public space where people were discouraged having these public spaces. And I'm wondering if it's hard to find places in sort of these sort of car-dominated cities.
Well, yeah, we do rely on places like the Brady Arts District, you know, there's a whole trend in the arts right now called placemaking. And it is things like the Guthrie Green, you know, making places where the arts can thrive, you know, where there can be studios and outdoor life and busking, for that matter.
Now, in your workshop, will you be actually sort of working with some acts to sort of help them hone that idea of making sure that they don't have any dead spots and things like that? Or will it be more of an introduction to people who are considering doing this?
You know, it all depends on who shows up. The ideal in this is that we're going to bring people who already are performers and help them develop their show so it is able to be on the street and they can make money at it.
You know,
ideal. So we'll have to see where everybody's at when they show up.
You know, there are rules to actually making money at it, too, because a lot of times when you start, you do your show, then you pass the hat. And, of course, I've learned since that you actually have to pass the hat before you finish the show.
Well, you can do that. That is one way that you can do it. But you should definitely mention that you're passing the hat all the way through the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually from the middle to the end, you say, now I will be passing my hat. This is how I make my living. There's a variety of hat lines that we will cover in the workshop as well.
Now, this is a prelude for the first one-night Busker Festival taking place in Tulsa on Friday, July 11th. And you've actually brought in a few groups for that. Can you talk about some of the people who will be coming in?
Well, we've got three people that will be coming in from out of town who are professional street performers. And I've worked with all of them before. First one is Mama Lou Strongwoman. And she's an exceptionally good street performer because she's got something different than anybody else does. She does a strongman act. Well, woman strongman act, and she holds the Guinness World Book record for smashing apples in her biceps.
Whoa.
And she will fold up a frying pan into a burrito. She will, she'll do, you know, one-handed push-ups, one-handed pull-ups. She lifts weights with her tongue. And she rips up a phone book. Yeah.
Wow. Don't get on her bad side.
Pretty amazing. And they, you know, the other guy is Jeff Cobb, otherwise known as Tom Selectomy. He is a sword swallower, as the name implies. And Tom Tom's not just a... There's freaks and there's geeks, you know? A freak is someone who is odd by nature. A geek is someone who wants to be odd and learns how. And Tom is neither one of those, yet he follows swords. He's a really great, really great storyteller, too. So in the middle of all these... It's hard to tell a story with you with a sword down your throat. But usually preceding all the tricks he does, he tells these really great stories about working on the street and such. So I really enjoy him and having him there with you know, all his tales and things like that. People get a real sense of what a busker is from him. The other performer is Jason Davod. Jason is a friend of mine from Kansas City who does a phenomenal fire act. He does fire and juggling and dancing and unicycling and such. And that was one of the things we wanted to have there was someone who could manipulate fire, because it is really beautiful the way that he does that. So those are the three that are coming in, and then we hope to find more from the busking workshop as well.
My guest today is Richard Renner, director of the Lawrence, Kansas Busker Festival. He's a 30-year veteran of busking. He'll be conducting a busking workshop this Saturday from 10 to 4 at the Fly Loft in downtown Tulsa in preparation for that Busker Festival taking place Friday, July 11th in and around the Guthrie Green. Now, I think this will be the fifth year for the Lawrence Busker Festival. Is that
seventh.
True?
Seventh,
excuse me.
Yeah.
And how big is that Busker Festival now? I guess it's scheduled for August, right? Early August?
Yeah, it's hard to get a count on the crowd, but we estimate around 15,000 people will come in the 3 days and see up to 20 to 25 performers on five different stages. And we also offer workshops on Saturday morning to teach magic and juggling and music and such. And we have an indoor show that we offer prior to the festival that features some of the best buskers that we have, so everyone can see it.
Mm-hmm. And you have the gamut of acts is pretty wide. I mean, it's a lot of them are sort of ground circus acts. You have some clowns, you have some dancers, you have guys doing incredible things with ping pong balls.
Yeah. Mike's a good friend of mine. That's Michael Troutman and the King Kong Ping Pong Rodeo. It's like an old-fashioned marksman with a ping pong ball. You know, he's shooting dimes out of the middle of the sky with a ping pong ball from his mouth. I look for the really different things. You know, I could fill the whole festival up with jugglers and magicians because there's a lot of those. But I look for the really different things, you know, like Mama Lou and the ping pong ball and the pogo dudes. These are world record holder pogo acrobats that just do amazing things on these amazing pogo sticks of theirs. So, yeah, I really like to bring in the odd and the usual.
Now, do you still busk from time to time, or does your management duties keep you away from that?
Oh, I don't do it in the festival. I tried that 1 year, and you can't produce and perform at the same time. In the middle of the show, someone comes up to you and say, this vendor is having a problem, and I got to stop and go deal with it. So, it's hard to, can't do that. So, I still do it, and usually in other towns than here.
Give us a sense of some of the places you've gone and done your act.
Well, I was in Austin, and we actually started the Austin Busker Festival this year, too. I was in Austin for they have a big car race there, Formula One car race, and I was there performing on the streets for the crowds coming to that. I've been to Boulder, and sometimes I get called into these arts districts that are just starting in new small towns all over America. Ellenburg, Washington, Hutchinson, Kansas. They're all starting these wonderful little arts districts, and they like to put some buskers there.
Yeah. Now, isn't that interesting? It's like the cities where the arts districts are really well established. I mean, they tend to... You know, they'll tolerate busking, or sometimes they'll heavily regulate it, you know, where you have to have licenses and the like. And it's the places that want to have these districts that are actually welcoming buskers. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, they see the artistic and cultural impact of it, and it also sets their city apart. I think that's probably in my mind, that's the reason for it.
What about those cities that do heavily regulate that? Is that a problem for buskers? Or,
well, if you follow the rules, it shouldn't be. Usually, the regulations are there just because it's a good place, and they were having so many performers showing up that you got to do something, or it just becomes a bunch of feral cats wandering around. You know, so you got to do something. They regulate it down in Key West. They regulate it in Chicago. I think they regulate it in Boulder too. It's usually a permit and a schedule, and that's about the most regulation you need.
Mm.
Sometimes they'll say you can't use amplifiers and things like that.
Well, I hope a lot of people come out for the workshop this Saturday. If you ever had the idea of being a street performer, whether it's playing an instrument, putting on some makeup and being a mime, or juggling, or just about anything that can entertain people, you can be a busker from that, right?
That's the way I feel. I mean, if it's a skill that people enjoy, you can perform it on the street. You just have to know how.
Well, the workshop takes place this Saturday, and then the Busker Festival, it's a one-night festival on Friday, July 11th, will take place around the Guthrie Green. Before we close, is there anything else you want to mention, Richard?
Well, I'm just so encouraged that the people from Tulsa want to do this at the Performing Arts Center in particular. I want to say particularly thank you to Shirley Elliott for just really being behind this full throttle and just wanting to make it happen. She enjoys what buskers do, and I think the rest of Tulsa will too.
Well, you know, they do add something, and I'm not sure what that something is, but there's something about being in a vibrant walking area, and there's a street performer there. And even if it's not something you really enjoy, it just sort of adds something to the atmosphere of the experience you're having.
Yep, that's worth something.
We wish you great success. Richard, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Richard Renner is a busker and the director of the Lawrence Busker Festival, who will be in Tulsa this weekend for a busker workshop as a part of the Tulsa Performing Arts Center Trust's Summer Stage Fringe Festival. The workshop takes place Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the Fly Loft and the Brady Arts District, and that's leading up to the Busker Festival, which will be Friday, July 11th at the Guthrie Green. For more information on the Fringe Festival as well as the Busker Workshop, visit summerstagetulsa.org or call 918-596-2367. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
I call my doctor Jerry. I've always wanted to be on a first-name basis with my doctor. Always wanted a doctor, more importantly, who knew my name without first having to check the chart on the door before he walked in. We had dinner the other night. How cool is that? He paid. How cool is that? Two Diet Cokes, I kept telling myself. Just order two and eat just one basket of bread. Don't make him yell at you. This bad for you, I asked. Diet Coke, he says, is really, really, really bad for you. Regular Coke is really, 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 really bad. Hey, four realies to three realies. Diet Coke is better. It's healthier. A mystery of life unraveled. Jerry doesn't wear white coats in the exam room. Sometimes he wears lederhosen or dresses like a biker. He's in his 70s, but touch his arms, they feel like steel. During my last exam, he was smoking an e-cigarette with special vitamins and minerals inside and bragged how his prostate was better than mine. He was wearing a derby. His wife came in at one point and brought him lunch in a plastic container. He beamed when he saw her. I sat, he sat, while a physician's assistant took notes on an iPad. She sat on the exam table. We were in chairs, Jerry and I. Jerry's head was always up, his eyes on mine. Time spent with your doctor doesn't count if he's looking at a chart, scribbling notes. He felt my wrists, looked at my earlobes, asked about my father. Tell him if he moves here, I'll play pinochle with him. I noticed in my file, amidst all the lab reports and prescriptions and echocardiograms, was a copy of one of my Tulsa People columns. What's this? I asked. I know about you. He asked the physician's assistant to leave. I'm going to talk to Barry for a while. She left. So, he asked, how's everything else going in your life? How's your girlfriend? But what's remarkable about this, about him, is that he does this with every patient. I'm not special. I heard him say to a woman once, I will help you. I swear to you. He was holding her hand when he said it, and he was sitting with her in the waiting room. Another time he walked a woman arm in arm down the hall to an ultrasound. Another time I saw him pat a man's hand who was upset, and he said to him what they were going to do at the next appointment. Who does that in 2014? We have the best health care in the world, we keep hearing, but it's parceled out in quarter-hour segments. I've waited over an hour to see Jerry, but our kibitzing takes longer than 15 minutes. Jerry is not a health care provider. He's not a primary care physician. He's a doctor. He hates the Affordable Care Act. He hated the old system. Patients he loves, even the poor ones. He once said to me, "Your insurance is terrible. They won't pay for this, so let's do the next best thing." Maybe there's your health care reform right there. Doctors who become doctors for the same reason painters become painters, and landscapers become landscapers, and yoga instructors become yoga instructors. Not to get rich, not to incorporate, but because they love the craft. Oversimplified? Probably. But when you go to a doctor, you want it simple. You want human contact to feel like you're more than just the cyst, the biopsy, the colonoscopy. First time I saw him, I was told it would be a 3-hour exam. 3 hours. I don't think I've spent 3 hours with all the doctors I've ever known in my life combined. And most important, things no doctor ever told me was wrong, I no longer suffer from. My body apparently refuses to metabolize folic acid. Lazy bastard. Anyway, we tricked it. I've heard him tell patients to dance more. I have his cell phone number, and we've been out for bagels. 50 years ago, Jerry would have been the kind of doctor who sat on the edge of my bed with a black bag and gave me a lollipop. The new face of healthcare, maybe the old one. One more thing. On the way out after my initial visit, one of the women at the front desk asked if I was happy with everything. "Very much," I said. "I can't believe it. He held my hand." "Yeah," she said. "That means he likes you."
Barry Freeman is a writer, a columnist for the Tulsa Voice, a stand-up comic, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. By the way, you can see Barry this weekend along with John Woolley as they present a program for the Tulsa Summer Stage Fringe Festival, presentation of essays and excerpts titled Still Slouching from Brooklyn to Bushyhead, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and 9:30 at the Woody Guthrie Center. Information at summerstagetulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.